A local youth soccer referee dies after being assaulted during a game. The Salt Lake County District Attorney drops more West Valley City Police Department drug cases. And Park City says goodbye to a beloved rabbi. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Monday, May 6th. I'm Brian Grimmett. The Granite School District has warned a soccer league that its rental agreement to hold games at Eisenhower Junior High School could be revoked. A 17-year-old player from one of the league's teams is facing criminal charges after punching a referee in the face. Ricardo Portillo lingered in a coma for several days before he died. The district cites the assault and previous complaints that the league didn't clean up trash and violated the ban on drinking alcohol and smoking cigarettes. La Liga Continental president Mario Vasquez said Friday the team that the teenager played on has been kicked out of the league, and he says the league will have security present at future games. The Salt Lake County District Attorney has dropped 26 more cases investigated by a drug unit of the West Valley City Police Department. That brings the total number of cases dismissed to 124 in the widening probe of the police department. The drug unit has now been disbanded and several officers are on administrative leave while the case is investigated.
From KUER News in Salt Lake City, I'm Terry Gilday. When Rabbi Joshua Aaronson arrived in Utah 11 years ago, Temple Har Shalom was a small Reformed Jewish congregation meeting in rented space in Park City. Today, it's in a beautiful new building with three times the attendance and a vacancy to fill. Rabbi Aaronson is moving on to Temple Judea in a suburb of Los Angeles and leaving behind a lot of people who will miss him. KUER's Dan Bombas has this profile.
Thirteen-year-old Celia Robbins Davis is reading from the Torah, the scroll of Hebrew scripture, on the day of her bat mitzvah as her family proudly looks on. She's one of many young people mentored by Rabbi Joshua Aaronson during his 11 years at Temple Har Shalom, and she's one who will miss him when he leaves for California at the end of June.
He's always been the rabbi that I've been with, and I don't know if there's going to be another one that plays the guitar while singing songs.
Joel Fine, the president of Temple Har Shalom, says musical ability is one of the things that has set the bar high for his replacement.
Josh, you know, is a fantastic guitarist as well, and we've come to really, you know, that's grown on us, and it's fun to have him play the guitar. We'd like someone to be not just musically inclined, but to also have a halfway decent singing voice. We want a rabbi, you know, I think that is just very inclusive and engaging and actively you know, gets involved with the congregation, with fundraising, and just really adds to the sense of community here.
Aaronson grew up in Philadelphia and studied at the University of Michigan and Hebrew Union College in New York. He served at synagogues in Buffalo and Cleveland before spending 4 years in Perth, Australia. He was recruited to serve Park City's growing Reform congregation just before the 2002 Winter Olympics.
In a way, it was good that there was no building here to seduce me, and there was really challenges because I was seduced by the quality of the congregants and the wonderful people that I met. And that really was what swayed me. And many of the people that I met the first weekend I interviewed are still close friends of mine.
Those friends include Father Bob Busson, who until recently was the pastor of St. Mary's Catholic Church.
When Josh came, we kind of lived a parallel life. I had just built the brand new church across the street from the synagogue and knew all about what's involved in that. And then he became involved in doing the synagogue here, which both of them are very, very impressive buildings, but very much important to our community.
Father Bob was holding religious services on the ski slopes in Park City during the winter, something Rabbi Aaronson says he also loved doing every Friday afternoon.
And it's Jews from all over the world. We have had Jews from Switzerland, we've had Jews from Australia, and of course Jews from all over North America. And every service before we begin, we ask everybody, you know, what your name is and where you're from. And all across the country, all across the world, people come and people leave happy, uplifted, and I think spiritually refreshed. It's a great, great, great time.
Other friends recruited the rabbi to provide his own explanation for the dozens of shoes hanging in Park City's legendary shoe tree on Prospector Avenue. It's in a tongue-in-cheek video posted on YouTube.
So the Israelites then threw their best shoes into the burning tree. We're talking Jimmy Choo's, we're talking Steve Madden, we're talking Allen Edmonds. Good shoes.
After Celia's bat mitzvah service at Temple Har Shalom, her mother, Hallie Robbins, says the selection committee has a big job ahead.
That's going to be the real challenge, to find someone as wonderful as Josh, who's been really a spirited and intelligent director of community life, and rabbi means teacher. Mm-hmm. So being able to have someone who truly instructs us in community fellowship and gatherings is really important.
Potential interim replacements have been visiting Park City in recent weeks. The search for a permanent rabbi will take about a year. Rabbi Aronson, his wife, and three teenage children will take up residence in Los Angeles so he can take his new position as senior rabbi at Temple Judea on July 1st. Though he's quick to give credit to others, Josh Aronson is proud of what's been accomplished at Har Shalom in the past 11 years, especially the synagogue's efforts to include gay and lesbian families and mixed faith families in the congregation.
The best part of the job for me is when someone comes up to me and says, you know, something akin to, Rabbi, you've helped me reconnect with being Jewish. Whether it's a kid as studying for bar mitzvah, whether it's an adult, whether it's a grandparent, that's really the most important part of the job and the most gratifying part of the job.
Dan Bomas, KUER News.
The pipeline that leaked 20,000 gallons of diesel fuel near northern Utah's Willard Bay State Park has passed a federally mandated pressure test required to make it fully operational again. The pipeline, owned by a subsidiary of Chevron Corp., extends from Salt Lake City to Spokane, Washington. A national conservation trust that helps local nonprofit land trusts buy up property to protect natural resources is creating a first-of-its-kind liability insurance company to help them cover the cost of legal battles with developers. More than 420 land trusts protecting a total of more than 6 million acres in 46 states, including California, Nevada, and Utah, are joining efforts with the National Land Trust Alliance to form the company, Terra Firma Risk Retention Group, LLC. Alliance President Rand Wentworth says the new concept allows land trusts to pool their resources and help level the playing field in legal fights with wealthy developers. Utah Highway Patrol troopers traced a drunk driver going the wrong way on I-15 for about 12 miles before stopping him. The pursuit began about 12:45 yesterday when UHP got a report that a driver had entered the freeway at 400 South going the wrong way. Road spikes deployed at 7200 South only slowed him down. He crashed into a trooper's car head-on at 9200 South. Neither was injured, and officers finally got him stopped at 105th South. They took 22-year-old Axel Garcia of West Jordan into custody. The owners of a cabin in the Ogden Valley called in a beekeeper to get rid of a hive under their eaves. Vic Bachman says it's the biggest hive he's ever seen, 12 feet long, containing about 60,000 honeybees. He removed them with a vacuum and plans to set up the colony in its own hive at his place in North Ogden. The bees have been living under the eaves of the cabin since 1996, but the owners recently got worried about the safety of children sleeping in a bedroom just below the hive. And finally, a collector of expensive exotic snakes has won at least a temporary reprieve from the Cottonwood Heights City Council after he'd been ordered to remove more than two dozen rare boa constrictors from his home. Police cited Thomas Cobb a week ago for failure to have an exotic pet permit and told him he had until Friday to get rid of all but one of his 29 boa constrictors, some as long as 7 feet. And that is your KUER News Pod for Monday, May 6th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, visit us online at KUER.org or follow us on Twitter at KUER News. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.